My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you guys. Little summer nights from Van Halen. Always takes me back. It is Ben and Woods' summer break. Guys are on vacation. You know, they're taking a well-deserved break. We're going to be here the entire week. It's going to get a little loose in here, I would imagine. We've been pretty steadfast this morning, you know, talking baseball, the draft, all that. Tomorrow we'll have a home run derby to talk about. We'll have the All-Star game. But after that, man, it's kind of lean.
Yeah, we kind of went on summer break, but then we still had some stuff that needed taking care of before you could really dive into vacation.
Correct.
And had to go through the weekend and the draft.
I'm ready
and we've
now.
Been doing that.
I am ready.
You're now ready.
Ready
Paul
for summer ready. Summer break. Well, like I always think about it, because now, you know, one of the realities that punches you in the face when you graduate college is you graduate and you're like, oh man, summer break's gonna kick it. Oh, I don't have a summer break anymore. I work June, July, August, whatever. And it really does. It's kind of a hard reality to face. And you start thinking about and lamenting your summers. Now, I do remember summer sometimes lasting too long. You were ready to get back to school. You were ready to see your friends that you didn't really get to see throughout the summer. But man, those first 2 weeks of summer, there's nothing like it.
I never remember summer lasting too long.
You never did?
No,
I did.
I always wanted another week or two at the end of summer.
I like to get back to school and like I said, see my friends, get back in kind of the swing.
I was always ready at the end.
The idle time, Benny, for people like me. Idle time, that's the devil's plaything. And I would get in a lot of trouble, and I was less likely to get in trouble in school. What are some of your favorite memories of your summers as a kid?
Favorite memories or most
all girls
memories?
All the time?
All girls all the time, yeah.
I will never forget the time that my mom and dad made me do junior lifeguards for 2 weeks. It felt like punishment, actually, to have to go out and run on the beach and, you know, learn how to try to save people's lives in the ocean, like for 2 whole weeks. And, you know, you're wearing the red swim trunks with all the lifeguards.
How old were you?
I was probably like, you know, 12 or 13.
And they forced.
It was like exercise. It was hard.
They watched Ben, somebody said in the chat.
I was. Yeah. So totally. You had that the floaty thing that you carried around with you, and you started the day just run like a half mile down the beach and back in the sand. It's hard to run in sand. It's
and
not
so
easy.
You did not like
it. Exhausting. Oh, it was exhausting.
There were girls there.
No, yeah, that's true.
So I wanted to be in summer. I wanted to be where the girls were. So we had like the community. We had the community pool that we would all go to and hang out at, which was just, Yeah, there's nothing better.
Get kind of sunscreeny, greasy at the end of the day.
They had the high dive and the whole thing. Yeah, it was just amazing.
Our pool had like a barbecue area. Like,
nobody's barbecuing, though, when you're kids.
No, but you would eat barbecue, like burgers and hot dogs.
Some old guy there cooking up.
Some parents would always be cooking. There was like a banquet area, and then there was a wiffle ball field right there next to the pool. So you were just there all day long.
Nobody in the chat says, inconvenient to save a life. Checks out for Ben. Yeah, 100%. Anything that he could do.
Let's be honest. They're not asking a 12-year-old to actually save anybody's life. It's just a way to get you out of the house for a couple of weeks and get some physical activity in during the summer.
I wasn't
a huge physical activity kid. I played a lot of golf tournaments in the summer, North County Junior Golf Association, and get dropped off in the morning and play golf, and that's what I would do a lot during the summer.
I just remember being like 12 and 13 was a lot of fun, riding bikes like crazy. We used to go to Six Flags when we were like 12. I lived in
Dallas. Is this in Texas or Connecticut?
In Dallas.
This is in Dallas.
I would come home for like a month, but home being Texas, and stay with my friend that actually just left. So I'd stay at his house for about a month. And his parents used to just drop us off at Six Flags and be like, see you later, we'll pick you up at six.
Wait, you didn't go back to your own house?
What do you mean?
Like your parents' house.
We lived in Connecticut. And I would come back and stay with him for a month in Texas, where I had moved from originally. And we rode bikes and like tried to kiss girls, and it was the greatest. It was like the most fun. I had the best summers. Like summer, I look back with such fondness.
Summer in the Pacific Northwest lasted until about 10 o'clock at night. Like the sun did not go down until 9:30, 9:45. So like we were out at 9 a.m. playing, doing whatever we were doing, and you'd come home for lunch, and then go back out. The slip and slide or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you go back for dinner. And then you still had another 6 hours.
Go back out.
Home run derby
all night.
We
were playing baseball until like 9 p.m. sometimes.
Yeah. You'd think I'd be better at baseball as much as we played in the summer.
We did wiffle ball in the yard. That's neighbor kids come over. Ben Higgins' backyard baseball. We had a really perfectly sized fence to try to reach over and steal home runs.
Yep.
So that was kind of always the goal, was to hit one that was just about an inch or two over the fence so someone could try to jump over and bring it back.
Like, I'm pretty happy with my life now, but sometimes when I get real nostalgic, I think about, like, some of the summers. Ages, like, 12 was probably the first summer that my parents were like, all right, go. Like, you're free to go and roam and explore, and we'll see you for dinner. Because they both worked. And so I would get on that 10-speed, and we would go to 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee, go rent a movie, whatever. And you got to remember, in Texas, too, it's 114 degrees, so your time outside was fairly limited. A lot of my friends had pools, so you would swim in the pool, play pool baseball. And I just think about it, and I'm like, man, what a bummer for my kids, because when they have summer break, guess who's going to be walking in the door at 11 a.m. every day, ready to put their asses to work? Me, every day. But what are you guys doing? What, are you playing video games? No, get up. Come on. We're going to go do something. Pool basketball, pool volleyball. God, it was the best. Like, oh, this girl likes you. Call her. Call her. You spend hours on the phone, like, talking to a girl. There was nothing like it. I really miss it, because life now is a little more different. It's a lot different. I talked to one girl on the phone, and she doesn't even like me very much. So, and she doesn't even, she won't even talk to me on the phone very long. She texts me. So,
how long would you talk on the phone?
Hours.
Really?
Hours and hours and hours and hours. Oh, let's three-way somebody else in. You get two girls on the phone. Man, it was the best. It was nothing like it.
Wow.
Yeah, two girls at the same time.
I think I was always essentially me. I can't last in a phone conversation more than 5 minutes tops.
Sure. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Ben. Are you having a nice summer? Uh-huh. Yep, sure. It's good. Sure. I guess he doesn't want to talk. That's why you didn't get girls. It's because you were handsome enough, but you wouldn't talk on the phone with him.
You had to put
the work in, dude. I had put into a tremendous amount of work. Call Ben Higgins. Oh, I don't know. Hello? Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Just watching Golden Girls. Yep. Sure.
Asks him for help with some tutoring, but she doesn't really want help.
She doesn't really want tutoring.
But Ben actually went and helped her with the homework.
Yeah, he wants to actually tutor. Oh, I miss it, man. I really do. I miss it. My little one. I mean, dude, it's such a scam now for parents. All parents out there can relate. You are I have one that's in preschool, and he can stay till 4:35 if we need to. The other one, that dude is Bo, and he's just like, all right, what's on the agenda this week? I mean, there's camps upon camps. There's camps, four camps. We sent him to Manny's camp last week. One day, it was incredible.
We talked a little bit about it on Friday, the video that we saw. But looked like it was nuts out there. I mean, hundreds of kids.
Hundreds of kids.
And there was only one Manny, as far as I could
tell. There was only one Manny there, and there were, think about for every kid, there were two parents plus two other siblings. So the surrounding areas of the field were packed. And
like a thousand people.
Everybody just wanted a shot of Manny Machado. And I will say this. I mean, you guys, you know, the Manny propaganda machine
this
here
is
on
Manny Machado.
97.3 The Fan comes from me. But I watched him really, you know, closely. And that dude took time to go and talk to every little pod of kids, pitch to Bo. You got to see that. What a special moment that was. They had you could pay extra to get like BP from him. And there was maybe 20 kids that did that. So I was like, oh, well, he'll be done after that. No. Dude went to every single pod, was showing him stuff, playing with him. It was really special. And I got a chance to say hello to him. And I talked to his wife, Yaine, for a minute. And she said, she goes, we were blown away. We thought maybe 150 kids. I was like 500 kids there. It was just bananas. And he was outstanding. Talking to all the kids and talking about, you know, how he got there. And it was really cool. Bo really enjoyed it and, got a, you know, chance to have a moment with him, which was pretty special.
Any tips that he got? Was there something, a takeaway from the whole festivities? Or was it just more kind of have fun and
it was, you know, pretty like, you know, work hard.
I mean, he has intense baseball camps where he is actually learning fairly high level instruction for
he's in one right now.
6-year-old, 7-year-old,
He's in one right now. But it was cool, man. It was I got to talk to a lot of tier ones out there too. Very, very special people I met. My man Richard was like the biggest tier one I've ever met. So shout out to Richard. It was great. It was a really special day. But I was thinking about that when I was a kid. We didn't have that. Like there was no, my dad didn't send me to like Willie Randolph camp or something, or you know what I mean? Like they didn't even exist back then. I don't think it was just your parents got up. They went to work. You were on your own until they got home from work.
Or maybe it did. But without the internet to publicize everything, if you didn't happen to catch the right newspaper ad that, you know, was going to tell you about the camp or
know somebody that knows somebody.
Somebody who had signed up, then did we even know what was going on? Now, you see it on social media and it gets pretty much targeted to the right people. You'll find out if there's something that your kids should be interested in for the most part. There aren't as many secrets nowadays as there used to be.
You might be watching the game and like they'll show maybe a clip from the camp like, hey, yesterday so-and-so held his annual camp. And then you're like, what the hell? I would have gone to that.
Yeah, of course.
That would have been nice to know about.
It was really cool. I mean, but, you know, summers were different back then. But then again, I also think there will never, based on what I know now, what I did, bro, there's not going to be any, I'm going to turn them loose at the age of 12. No, there's not going to be any, go ride your bikes around. It's not going to happen, man. They have to be able to grow a little bit, but it's a different world now.
So it totally is. He's going to want to be on video games with his boys and riding e-bikes, an e-bike gang.
And playing baseball. That's what he wants to do. So, like, it just, got me thinking about it when we got summer break today, thinking about the good summers of the past. And it's funny, you see those memes, like our, the boomers that we are, like, oh, we used to drink from the garden hose. We did. We actually literally did used to drink from the garden hose and, like, get into trouble without getting into trouble. It was a different time. It was a lot of fun.
Part of summer, of course, is the Midsummer Classic, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which is tomorrow in Texas. Tonight, the Home Run Derby. And coming up, we got a special guest in studio who has a connection to that event and a skill set that I think makes him a fascinating guest. So we're going to talk to Ray Krohn is with us. He's actually in studio right now, but we'll bring him on here in a couple of minutes. Also, and this is kind of sad, we have a few shout outs from the weekend to get to. Shout outs to their families.
How much time do we have?
Because we got a few to talk about coming up here. So that is all coming up. Take a quick time out. It's Ben and Woods. It's summer break. It's a Monday. Glad to have you with us. Kelly's got traffic and then more on the other side on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you lost in some of the other news that took place over the weekend and, you know, took obviously much of the media attention was a pretty bad weekend for celebrity losses.
Yeah, man.
Several of them, actually, and all of them kind of unique and different. So as we like to do on our program, and salute them in the Ben and Woods fashion, we actually have to go with both of our clips. So, Polly, why don't we start with the shout out to his family first.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
That one goes out to exercise guru Richard Simmons, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 66. Woods, what were your memories of Richard Simmons?
Well, when I was a kid, it was him being on Letterman and the banter that those guys would just... I mean, it almost felt mean at the time, but Richard was so good at letting things kind of roll off him. And he was just always himself. He did not know how to be anything other than who he was. So that was my first. Then he kind of had a resurgence on the Stern Show many, many years later, and then kind of fell off there and I guess was not in good health at all. But, I mean, he was, when I was a kid, he was like a staple. Like, he was just always around, Richard Simmons.
He was, I saw an old clip of him on Whose Line Is It Anyway with Drew Carey, and just the enthusiasm that he approached everything with. And the message was always good. It was get up and get active.
Yeah,
and
get moving.
You know, did it in his own kind of quirky way. But certainly for someone of our age, he was just kind of like, you saw him on the infermercials and just on
the game
TV,
shows.
Game shows all the time. Richard Simmons was everywhere. Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares, always on just Hollywood Squares.
Saw him
Squares.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
He just was kind of an ubiquitous member of growing up in like the 70s and the 80s and into the 90s. That Richard Simmons, before the internet, he was like that figure figure that would have been all over the internet today.
Oh yeah.
You know, if he had been of a later generation.
That's exactly right.
He just
right.
seemed like such a positive and happy guy.
100%. Always was positive. And it got the last several years of his life from at least listening to Howard talk about it. I don't think it was very good for him, man, which bums me out. Bums me out a lot because he was a really positive. He was just everywhere when I was a kid. Everywhere.
And then on the other side, there were two who are very much queens of their business who we lost over the weekend. So, Paulie, if you would.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty.
Just right back into it.
Let's start with the maybe less surprising one because she was 96 years old.
I thought she was already gone.
Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
When you told me that this morning, and it was the first I'd heard of it, and B, I thought that it had already happened, so I do apologize.
As growing up, when you're a kid, and Dr. Ruth is obviously talking about
sex.
Awkward
you can say
subject.
Yeah, sex.
All right, it is 6 o'clock yeah, in the morning.
It feels like something you shouldn't be watching, but she seemed like such a nice lady. Every time she was talking about it, just wanted to make everybody
comfortable
and, talk about things openly and honestly and like way before her time.
Now,
probably
same type of thing with Richard Simmons. She was also always around.
She was.
But when she was on the television and your parents were in the room, you got up and left the room because you did not want to hear anything about that with your parents in your vicinity. Right.
True.
She had the funny voice, and what was her heritage?
Eastern European, yeah. I'm sure, but Dr. Ruth,
yeah. And you're like, oh, you're the expert on all of this, okay? Yeah, when I was a kid, I was like, she is.
I mean,
she is.
Just to have that of being just the leading expert in your field that everyone acknowledges.
Yes.
This is the person you go to.
Yeah.
If you are trying to have better relations with your partner. She's the one that can get you
get
right.
Get you going. Yeah. Get you right.
96 years old. Decades. Yeah. Decades of being ahead in her field. And then the other one.
That's a cap tip. 96 years old, you tip your cap. That's
the other one, though. Much too soon, Shannon Doherty, Beverly Hills 90210, 53 years old after a battle with cancer, passed away over the weekend. She was
Brenda
Walsh on Beverly Hills 90210.
Loved her.
She started, so when the show started, she had just moved, the Walshes had moved from where? Like the
Minnesota.
Midwest, Minnesota.
Yep.
And she was kind of out of her element.
Correct.
At Beverly High.
And she took an interest in Dylan.
But then she became kind of the villain, the bad girl of 90210.
She went back and forth there, yeah, but she was always a favorite. 53, man, died of cancer. Really, really sad to think that, the two of those co-stars from, again, our youth passed away at a really, really young age. In Luke Perry, he passed away years ago, which is so sad, but shout out to her family as well. Very, very sad story.
I've said it before, I was more of
Andrea.
No,
you liked Andrea. It's
okay,
fine.
Yeah, who didn't like Andrea?
I liked Andrea. She was fine.
Jenny Garth, though, was.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She's a little out of your league.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Little out of your league.
Yeah, Andrea, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, you and Andrea
have a chance.
A great couple. Gabrielle Carteris.
Right.
Yes.
Now, did she end up with David, who was the music guy?
No, Jenny Garth did.
She did. Yeah. Okay, I can forget. I sometimes forget how the relationships ended up.
Yeah.
On that show.
Sad. And there was another one that passed away that you said. I didn't.
Oh, yeah. James B. Sicking, who was the dad in Doogie Howser and was on, I think, Hill Street Blues. You'd absolutely know.
If
you don't know the name, you'd absolutely remember him.
You saw the guy everywhere.
Guest starring on a million TV shows in like the 80s and 90s and cop dramas and sitcoms all over the place. You'd absolutely remember him as well.
Yeah.
It's sports, not entertainment. Jacoby Jones passed away at 40 years old.
And they're not really saying.
They didn't say what happened.
Super Bowl star.
Passed peacefully at home.
Yeah, Baltimore Ravens, just 40 years old, but not really any explanation or details that have been.
When was that?
Given out just yesterday,
yeah,
I believe.
Yesterday morning.
That was kind of a shocker and a surprise. as well, obviously just 40 years old. I don't think anyone had reported that there was any health issues or anything going on.
He was a Charger for a year, right?
Was he? I think.
Yep.
Did he? Yeah, came through at some point. But yeah, it was the way he, yeah, Paul, it was reported that he passed peacefully at home, like it was something that was expected. But it certainly wasn't something that, at least publicly, people knew anything was going on with Jacoby Jones.
So. All right, it's enough of the downer stuff. Oh. It's summer break, all right? Summer break. We're still here. We're still kicking. So let's have some fun. Talk some baseball. Talk some home run derby next.
Yeah, we got Ray Crone in studio.
Ray is the GOAT, man.
He really is. I mean, we talk about the, like, Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
The leading expert in her field.
Yeah.
He's the leading expert in his field.
I mean, maybe one guy would disagree with him. But we'll talk about that.
Yes.
You'll have to hear this story.
All right. We'll get to that coming up. Quick timeout. More Ben and Woods coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza.
We're doing one this week.
We are.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
On the during the All-Star break.
Yes. We'll talk about what happened over these next 3 days.
Got to break down that All-Star game for an hour.
Can't lose any more games, at least this week. Until Friday, at least, for your San Diego.
So we're going to do a round table this week.
That's right.
Makes sense.
Previewing the second half of the season.
Oh, love the preview.
Well, I mean, it's really whatever direction I take it.
Didn't you just do that like 2 weeks ago?
No, that was looking back. That was looking back at the first half of the season. Now we look ahead to the second half of the season.
Sounds good.
Or not. I don't know.
Maybe we've been in the second half of the
maybe
season.
Maybe we won't talk
like
baseball at all. We'll have a completely baseball-free Padres roundtable.
Yeah,
summer break roundtable edition.
Fine by me.
You know, you asked me one of the things that I look forward to in summer break, and really all year long. But one thing I loved was going out and my dad throwing batting practice to me. We'd go out to the field all the time. And he was, I thought, one of the better batting practice pitchers out there. Seemed like he could, you know, throw forever and to me and my brother. And usually, I mean, I could probably count on one hand the number of times he actually hit me accidentally in batting practice.
Yeah, probably on purpose. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, he probably did throw inside occasionally to test me. How was Gary at batting
Amazing.
Practice?
Incredible.
Good too?
Yeah. Could throw. My dad could throw BP for hours. And I think what killed him, and he just had Tommy John like 3 months ago, was the pop flies. He would go all the way down to the ground,
throw
as high as he could throw them, and now guess who likes them? My 6 year old. So now mine's barking, and I'm like, "How did my
What
dad...
about a fungo? Can you fungo it?
Huh? Not in the middle of the street.
No,
fungo straight up in the air. I mean, you'd have to be
windows and things.
Tim
Flannery,
Tim and everything. Flannery would have a tough time fungoing them up that you know in that close of quarters. But yeah, man, my dad was a great BP until I met Ray.
Yes, and joining us after our check of traffic is the guy who is pretty much acknowledged, certainly here in San Diego, but really in baseball circles as the best BP pitcher around. We'll talk to Ray.
Word gets around.
Yes, it does. Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fam. So I first met our next guest, Woods, when I was doing Padres pre- and post-game show in the early 2000s. And, you know, I'd be at the ballpark several hours early before it was open up to the public, and I'd get to see Padres players taking batting practice. And there was always this same guy who was out there throwing BP for hours on end to Padres players. And Ray Crone is with us here. Ray, welcome. Thank you for coming in studio with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So tell us kind of the story of how you got involved first with the San Diego Padres throwing BP, because you weren't a professional baseball player or coach or anything.
Not even close.
This is kind of weird
it's
how
so
this
good,
all
man.
This all kind of came to be.
So there's a few different stories behind it. So I was showing you guys earlier, Padres Fantasy Camp, I met Norm Sherry. And he coached Buddy Black in the 80s up at Giants. So that was one guy working for me. And then I was thrown to Tony Gwynn and his camps up there at State, along with all the pros before they go to spring training.
Now, how do you get the gig throwing for Tony Gwynn, though?
So I would go up there and one of my students that I had at Valhalla was actually going up there on Tuesday nights at the hitting camp. And I said, well, I got to check this out.
Sure.
So I checked it out and I just didn't say a word. I started shagging and then, I go, you need any throwers? He goes, yeah, go ahead. So, and then
Tony's like, I like the cut of your jib right there.
Tony goes, just throw. And then I'd throw for the whole camp. It'd be like from 4 o'clock on to 8.
Oh my God.
Just loving it. All the kids. There was like 85 kids out there.
Yeah, everyone needs their,
yeah,
their reps.
It was so much fun. And that's how the assistants would get paid on the side where they do their camps.
Yeah. Because
unpaid assistants, of course, there's only three, Tony and Mark Martinez and Rusty at the time. And that was it. And then, that, I think what really it worked was Brian Giles was on the team, and his old high school baseball coach and I are really good friends. We went to the same high school together at different times, and he couldn't throw to Brian in the off season in January. His whole schedule changed, so I came out to El Cap, threw to him. He liked what I saw, so first game of the season, they're home. They call me, come on down. So Merv was the hitting coach, and he's the best still. I still talk to him every day. And I came down. Merv goes, let me see what you got. I threw like six pitches in the cage. He goes, okay, let's go. And then I threw to David Wells, Greg Maddux, Jake Peavy, and Chris Young was my first group. And I went, oh, my God.
Oh, the pitchers group.
Yeah, the pitchers group when they were hitting back in the day. And then the second group was Adrian, Brian, Marcus, and I think it was Mike Cameron in that group. So
bro,
like,
it's so nerve-wracking to play baseball at any level, but it's also really nerve-wracking to play in front of pros. And to now, not only are you like showing them what you got, but you're actually trying to get them prepared for a game, a real game. These guys are millionaires and the whole thing. And yeah, man, it's just BP. You're not throwing sliders and cutters. You're just trying to get them locked in for the game. But I've been fortunate enough to hit his batting practice before. It's unbelievable. I mean, Woodsy, you want it up, out, low and away, and just bam,
so,
bam, bam.
Yeah, the skill set, Ray, is it's basically a combination of precision and stamina, correct, right, that makes a truly great batting practice pitcher.
Yes.
You can put it where they want it to be, whether they want it low, high, inside, outside, and do that consistently. And then do it on end over and over again for hours without your arm falling off.
Yeah.
And you just have this skill.
Where
did it come from?
Yeah, I was a middle infielder, so second base, so I didn't have to throw that far anyways, which was nice. But as my son was growing up, I'd throw to his little league team. And then when he went to high school at Valhalla, I went over to the varsity team because I was watching BP and they had a kid throw. I was like, oh, this isn't that good.
Yeah, this isn't good.
I said, well, you need one? Oh, you any good? I'd say, if you don't like me, don't worry. It's after 5 minutes. So I got lucky. I coached Greg Garcia and Drew Garcia at Valhalla and all that. So I was just able to always throw it. But when you're down at the stadium, boy, it's a different feel.
100%.
The adrenaline's flowing. And, you know, I would throw to two groups every day. But after the first group, the first time, I was like, I was done.
Really?
It's like walking 18 holes of golf.
Yeah.
You're spent.
You're spent.
Because you're just emotionally in it. But then as you get do it every day, you know, you build up your stamina. But I would never lift weights. I would always do band work and swim all the time. That's all I would ever do.
No, that's how you took care of your arm.
That's how
just
I took
the
care of,
Jaeger bands.
That's
and
it.
Okay.
And do long toss with David Eckstein every 3 days.
That's amazing.
And he would throw from line to line. I couldn't get it.
No.
Would be rolling.
Six hopper. Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, at least.
So I would just be able to throw all the time. I absolutely loved it, though. I don't think a lot of guys actually love throwing BP.
I hate it.
And I love throwing. I love throwing to the kids, the adults. They're all the same. And Merv, we would do lessons after he retired, and he'd say the same things to the kids he would say to the pros. Like with Mark Sweeney, he goes, hey, you know, that's the only swing you got. You might want to take that up there. You know, just lines like that. It's so funny. I asked Dave Roberts once. I know he's your favorite.
He's my favorite.
I love him.
Yeah, I love him too.
I hope he
stays forever.
Yeah, we threw to him in his backyard with Mike Sweeney, Mark Sweeney, all the guys would come out. And I asked Dave one time, what makes Merv so good? He goes, even when you know you have no chance on getting a hit, Merv thinks he gives you a chance.
Merv thinks he gives you a chance.
Yeah, he gives you a chance by saying something positive.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. You need that. I need that. I need the positive reinforcement.
That's basically all what happens behind the scenes.
That's amazing.
That looks good.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, so Ray Crona's with us, and you're so good at this, and you do it for the Padres for several years that at some point, you actually get invited to throw at the Home Run Derby for Adrian Gonzalez in 2009, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And tell us about that story. First of all, you just shared it with us. Just getting to the game, which was in St. Louis.
But
the Padres wrapped up the first half of the season on Sunday in
San Francisco,
the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's simple, right? You fly from San Francisco to St. Louis.
Yeah,
that's easy,
yeah,
right?
We didn't get on that charter flight that Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain was on. because Adrian was actually playing and they weren't. So they took off early. So we had a few flight malfunctions. So we finally ended up in Indianapolis, and Adrian, Heath Bell, and Adrian's wife, Betsy, we all rented a van and drove. Adrian drove the 3.5 hours of St. Louis.
Through the night.
Now, Heath and we're all up. Heath and I are fired up.
Yeah.
This is our first All-Star game. Because he asked, Heath, how many All-Star? Heath goes, this is
this the one,
one
where he slid into the mound?
No, that was the next year after that. It was so funny. So Heath and I were having a blast. We talked the whole way through, no music or anything. But by the time we got to St. Louis, it's like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So I took pictures. I didn't know what to do for Adrian for thanking him. But along the lines of that, I said, you know, you can ask Dave Gonzalez, your high school baseball coach, to throw to you. He goes, yeah, but he can't go. So will you go? I said, I'd be honored to
100%.
Throw to you. So it's like, okay, so we get there early, and Milt Thompson's the hitting coach of the Phillies because they won it the year before. So their whole staff is there. And I said to Milt, I ran to Davey Lopes and I said, hey, you bring your BP guys. He goes, no, we didn't. So I got to throw to Adrian's group, which consisted of Adrian, Prince Fielder, Brian McCann, Jason Wirth, and Ryan Zimmerman. It's like,
good Lord.
So this is fun. So I threw to them for a few times before we got to the home run hitting contest. So I was like, okay, I'm not nervous anymore. I'm more excited.
Yeah.
So I was like, the adrenaline's like, but it's so much fun. St. Louis fans are incredible.
But Adrian was cashed.
He was done. Yeah.
He was cashed.
We were throwing right before because you get some time with Adrian or whoever's going to throw to each guy. You get some time and there's no pop coming off the bat. And I'm like going, oh, this could be bad.
So he hit how many?
Two.
Oh.
But that was after Brandon Inge only hit zero, so we got better than that.
So Inge hits zero. Adrian, yeah. Now did you take any grief from him only hitting two?
Oh yeah,
from him
still to the no not from, well nope. yes
yeah.
yes and no yes and no. So the following year he's in the home run hitting contest at the end. He's in the finals against
Cano. Yeah.
I text him, hey, nice job. He goes, it's nice to get strikes.
Unbelievable.
Oh, the best.
What a monster.
We had Brett Boone on last Wednesday, and he was telling us about the year that he put up a goose egg. And the first thing out of his mouth was, it was my pitcher.
Yeah, my pitcher.
I didn't have my guy. I had to go ask Dave Valley.
And he said Valley
couldn't throw anything. He was throwing me sliders.
Cutters.
It's like Mark McGuire throwing to Flannery.
And yeah, then remember the year Will Myers had his brother.
Yeah.
And he hit him.
And he hit him. That was bad. So you must watch the Home Run Derby with an extra keen eye on the pitchers.
Yeah, I do.
How much do you think that really does impact?
Obviously, the hitters
is a big thing, but if the pitchers aren't there, how big of an impact is that on the outcome?
Well, now it's more of an impact because it's time. When Adrian and I did it, it wasn't time. But what he did, he thought it was BP. He hit every pitch. I go, you can take a pitch. Because Prince would hit two and take five pitches.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't take them. It's like, take a pitch. And he hit one off the L screen and went, oh, this isn't going to be good. And then, you know, as soon as we got back, KT walks through the clubhouse. God love KT. And he just looks at me and goes, nice job.
Nightmare, man. But when they announce, you know, now, you know, San Diego Padres, Adrian Gonzalez, and you got to walk your ass out to that mound, and there's that bucket. Why don't batting practice guys ever use a glove? I can't throw BP unless I have a glove on.
So I used to do it, and then I say, well, it's easier to hold three balls in one hand and just keep going because it's repetition.
Boom. Yep.
Especially down here at the ballpark, you know, they got an hour to hit.
Yep.
So it's more repetition. It's like, how fast can you go? But some guys like it really slow. It depends on who the guy is.
So, Ray, how hard do you throw?
63 at best back in the day.
So
that's
people
BS.
Wonder,
I faced him, dude.
No,
I
but
faced
people
him.
Wonder, why is that preparation? But you're not throwing from the mound. You're throwing from a lot closer.
Yeah. Do you have like an estimate of like what that...
Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza.
We're doing one this week.
We are.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
On the during the All-Star break.
Yes. We'll talk about what happened over these next 3 days.
Break down that All-Star game for an hour.
Can't lose any more games, at least this week, until Friday, at least, for your San Diego
So we're going to do a round table this week.
That's right.
Makes sense.
Previewing the second half of the season.
Oh, love the preview.
Well, I mean, it's really whatever direction I take it.
Didn't you just do that like 2 weeks ago?
Looking back at the first half of the season. Now we look ahead to the second half of the season.
Sounds good.
Or not. I don't know.
Maybe we've been in the second half of the season.
Maybe we won't talk baseball at all. We'll have a completely baseball-free Padres roundtable. Yeah, we'll summer break roundtable edition.
Fine by me.
You know, you asked me one of the things that I look forward to in summer break, and really all year long. But one thing I loved was going out and my dad throwing batting practice to me. We'd go out to the field all the time. And he was, I thought, one of the better batting practice pitchers out there. Seemed like he could, you know, throw forever, and to me and my brother. And usually, I mean, I could probably count on one hand the number of times he actually hit me accidentally in batting practice.
Yeah, it was probably on purpose. Yeah.
But I don't know. He probably did throw inside occasionally to test me. How was Gary at batting practice?
Incredible. Good too? Yeah, could throw. My dad could throw BP for hours. And I think what killed him, and he just had Tommy John like 3 months ago, was the pop flies. He would go all the way down to the ground,
throw
as high as he could throw them. And now, guess who likes them? My 6 year old. So now mine's barking, and I'm like, "How did my
dad?" What about a fungo? Can you fungo it?
Huh? Not in the middle of the street.
No,
fungo straight up in the air. I mean, you'd have to be
windows and things.
Tim Flannery would have a tough time fungoing them up that, you know, in that close of quarters. But yeah, man, my dad was a great VP until I met Ray.
Yes, and joining us after our check of traffic is the guy who is pretty much acknowledged, certainly here in San Diego, but really in baseball circles, as the best BP pitcher around. We'll talk to Ray.
Word gets around.
Yes, it does. Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fam. So I first met our next guest, Woods, when I was doing Padres pre- and post-game show in the early 2000s. And, you know, I'd be at the ballpark several hours early before it was open up to the public, and I'd get to see Padres players taking batting practice. And there was always this same guy who was out there throwing BP for hours on end to Padres players. And Ray Krohn is with us here. Ray, welcome. Thank you for coming in studio with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So tell us kind of the story of how you got involved first with the San Diego Padres throwing BP, because you weren't a professional baseball player or coach or anything.
Close. Not even close.
This is kind of weird how this all kind of came to be.
So there's a few different stories behind it. So I was showing you guys earlier, Padres Fantasy Camp, I met Norm Sherry. And he coached Buddy Black in the 80s up at Giants. So that was one guy working for me. And then I was thrown to Tony Gwynn and his camps up there at State, along with all the pros before they go to spring training.
Now, how do you get the gig throwing for Tony Gwynn, though?
So I would go up there and one of my students that I had at Valhalla was actually going up there on Tuesday nights at the hitting camp. And I said, well, I got to check this out.
Sure.
So I checked it out and I just didn't say a word. As I saw, started shagging and then, I go, you need any throwers? He goes, yeah, go ahead. So, and then
Tony's like, I like the cut of your jib right there.
Tony goes, just throw. And then I'd throw for the whole camp. It'd be like from 4 o'clock on to 8.
Oh, my God.
Just loving it. All the kids. There was like 85 kids out there.
Everyone needs their reps.
So much fun. And that's how the assistants would get paid on the side when they do their camps.
Yeah. Because
unpaid assistants, of course, there's only three, Tony and Mark Martinez and Rusty at the time. And that was it. And then that, I think what really it worked was Brian Giles was on the team, and his old high school baseball coach and I are really good friends. We went to the same high school together at different times, and he couldn't throw to Brian in the off season in January. His whole schedule changed, so I came out to El Cap, threw to him. He liked what I saw, so first game of season, they're home. They call me, come on down. So Merv was the hitting coach, and he's the best still. I still talk to him every day. And I came down. Merv goes, let me see what you got. I threw like six pitches in the cage. He goes, okay, let's go. And then I threw to David Wells, Greg Maddux, Jake Peavy, and Chris Young was my first group. And I went, oh, my God.
Oh, the pitcher's God. Group.
Hall the pitcher's
of,
group.
Yeah, the pitcher's group when they were hitting back in the day. And then the second group was Adrian, Brian, Marcus, and I think it was Mike Cameron in that group. So
bro,
it was like,
it's so nerve-wracking to play baseball at any level, but it's also really nerve-wracking to play in front of pros. And to now, not only are you like showing them what you got, but you're actually trying to get them prepared for a game, a real game. These guys are millionaires and the whole thing. And yeah, man, it's just BP. You're not throwing sliders and cutters. You're just trying to get them locked in for the game. But I've been fortunate enough to hit his batting practice before. It's unbelievable. I mean, Woodsy, you want it up, out, low and away, and just bam,
so,
bam, bam.
Yeah, the skill set, Ray, is it's basically a combination of precision and stamina. right, that makes a truly great batting practice pitcher.
Yes.
You can put it where they want it to be, whether they want it low, high, inside, outside, and do that consistently, and then do it on end over and over again for hours without your arm falling off, essentially.
Yeah.
And you just have this skill.
Where
did it come from?
Yeah, I was a middle infielder, so second base, so I didn't have to throw that far anyways, which was nice. But as my son was growing up, I'd throw to his little league team. And then when he went to high school at Valhalla, I went over to the varsity team because I was watching BP, and they had a kid throw. I was like, oh, this isn't that good.
Yeah, this isn't good.
I said, well, you need one? Oh, you any good? I'd say, if you don't like me, don't worry.
It's
after 5 minutes. So I got lucky. I coached Greg Garcia and Drew Garcia at Valhalla and all that. So I was just able to always throw it. But when you're down at the stadium, boy, it's a different feel.
100%.
The adrenaline's flowing. And, you know, I would throw to two groups every day. But after the first group, the first time, I was like, I was done.
Really?
It's like walking 18 holes of golf.
Yeah.
You're spent.
You're spent.
Because you're just emotionally in it. But then as you get to do it every day, you know, you build up your stamina. But I would never lift weights. I would always do band work and swim all the time. That's all I would ever do.
No, that's how you took care of your arm.
That's how
just
I took
the
care of
Jaeger bands.
That's
and
it.
Okay.
And do long toss with David Eckstein every 3 days.
That's amazing.
And he would throw from line to line. I couldn't get it.
No.
Would be rolling.
Six hopper.
At least. So I would just be able to throw all the time. I absolutely loved it, though. I don't think a lot of guys actually love throwing BP.
I hate it.
And I love throwing. I love throwing to the kids, the adults. They're all the same. And Merv, we would do lessons after he retired, and he'd say the same things to the kids he would say to the pros. Like with Mark Sweeney, he goes, hey, you know, that's the only swing you got. You might want to take that up there. You know, just lines like that. It's so funny. I asked Dave Roberts once. I know he's your favorite.
He's my favorite.
I love him.
Yeah, I love him too. I hope he stays forever.
Yeah, we threw him in his backyard with Mike Sweeney, Mark Sweeney. All the guys would come out. And I asked Dave one time, what makes Merv so good? He goes, even when you know you have no chance on getting a hit, Merv thinks he gives you a chance.
Merv thinks he gives you a chance.
Yeah, he gives you a chance by saying something positive.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. You need that. I need that. I need the positive reinforcement.
That's basically all what happens behind the scenes.
That's amazing.
That looks good.
No, I was just going to say, so Ray Crona's with us, and you're so good at this, and you do it for the Padres for several years, that at some point you actually get invited to throw at the Home Run Derby for Adrian Gonzalez in 2009, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And tell us about that story. First of all, you just shared it with us. Just getting to the game, which was in St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
But the Padres wrapped up the first half of the season on Sunday in
San Francisco.
The Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's simple, right? You fly from San Francisco to St. Louis.
Yeah,
that's easy, right?
We didn't get on that charter flight that Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain was on. Because Adrian was actually playing and they weren't. So they took off early. So we had a few flight malfunctions. So we finally ended up in Indianapolis, and Adrian, Heath Bell, and Adrian's wife, Betsy, we all rented a van and drove. Adrian drove the 3.5 hours of St. Louis.
Through the night.
Now, Heath and we're all up. Heath and I are fired up.
Yeah.
This is our first All-Star game.
Because
he asked, Heath, how many All-Star? Heath goes,
Is this the one where he slid into the mound?
No, that was the next year after that. It was so funny. So Heath and I were having a blast. We talked the whole way through, no music or anything. But by the time we got to St. Louis, it's like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So I took pictures. I didn't know what to do for Adrian for thanking him. But along the lines of that, I said, you know, you can ask Dave Gonzalez, your high school baseball coach, to throw to you. He goes, yeah, but he can't go, so will you go? I said, I'd be honored to
100%.
Throw to you. So it's like, okay, so we get there early, and Milt Thompson's the hitting coach of the Phillies because they won it the year before, so their whole staff is there. And I said to Milt, I ran to Davey Lopes, and I said, hey, you bring your BP guys. He goes, no, we didn't. So I got to throw to Adrian's group, which consisted of Adrian, Prince Fielder, Brian McCann, Jason Wirth, and Ryan Zimmerman. It's like,
good Lord.
So this is fun. So I threw to them for a few times before we got to the home run hitting contest. So I was like, okay, I'm not nervous anymore. I'm more excited.
Yeah.
So I was like, the adrenaline's like, but it's so much fun. St. Louis fans are incredible.
But Adrian was cashed.
He was done. Yeah.
He was cashed.
We were throwing right before, because you get some time with Adrian or whoever's going to throw to each guy. You get some time, and there's no pop coming off the bat, and I'm like, oh, this could be bad.
So he hit how many?
Two.
Oh.
But that was after Brandon Inge only hit zero, so we got better than that.
So Inge hit zero. Adrian, now, did you take Did you take any grief from him only hitting two?
Oh yeah,
from him
still to the no, not from, well, no. Yes, yeah. Yes and no, yes and no. So the following year, he's in the home run hitting contest at the end. He's in the finals against.
He got in the finals against Cano. Yeah.
I text him, hey, nice job. He goes, it's nice to get strikes.
Unbelievable. Oh, the best. What a monster.
We had Brett Boone on last Wednesday, and he was telling us about the year that he put up a goose egg. And the first thing out of his mouth was, it was my pitcher.
Yeah, my pitcher.
I didn't have my guy. I had to go ask Dave Valley.
And he said Valley
couldn't throw anything. He was throwing me sliders.
Cutters.
It's like Mark McGuire throwing to Flannery.
And yeah, then remember the year Will Myers had his brother.
Yeah,
and he hit him.
And he hit him.
And he hit him.
That was bad. So you must watch the Home Run Derby with an extra keen eye on the pitchers.
Yeah, I do.
How much do you think that really does impact?
So
obviously, the hitters is a big thing, but if the pitchers aren't there, how big of an impact is that on the outcome?
Well, now it's more of an impact because it's time. When Adrian and I did it, it wasn't time. But what he did, he thought it was BP. He hit every pitch. I go, you can take a pitch. Because Prince would hit two and take five pitches.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't take them. It's like, take a pitch. And he hit one off the L screen and went, oh, this isn't going to be good. And then, you know, as soon as we got back, KT walks through the clubhouse. God love KT. And he just looks at me and goes, nice job.
It's a nightmare, man. But when they announce, you know, now, you know, San Diego Padres, Adrian Gonzalez, and you got to walk your ass out to that mound, and there's that bucket. Why don't batting practice guys ever use a glove? I can't throw BP unless I have a glove on.
So I used to do it, and then I say, well, it's easier to hold three balls in one hand and just keep going because it's repetition.
Yep.
Especially down here at the ballpark, you know, they got an hour to hit.
Yep.
So it's more repetition. It's like, how fast can you go? But some guys like it really slow. It depends on who the guy is.
So, Ray, how hard do you throw?
63 at best back in the day.
So
that's
people
BS.
Wonder
I faced him, dude.
No, but
faced
people wonder, why is that preparation? But you're not throwing from the mound. You're throwing from a lot closer.
Yeah. Do you have an estimate of like what that comped to for them game speed?
They said it was low 90s. I don't know. It's all timing.
Like you'll see that in like the Little League World Series. Like they're throwing from like 48 feet or whatever, and the kid's throwing 60 miles an hour.
But it's like 95.
Equivalent of 98 or something. I've hit
BP off Ray, and he's heating it in there.
Well, it looks like it is.
He's right on top of you, and you're like, oh God, oh God. it's nerve wracking.
Well, it looks like it is because in the home run hitting contest, when Adrian was there, the other guys were lobbing in, and I was throwing. It's like, because I asked Adrian, you want to change anything? He goes, don't change a thing.
No.
Be firm. It's like, but he didn't have the turtle over the head. So
he needed the shell over him.
It's a different feel.
And you're just by yourself.
Yeah, you're by
everyone,
yourself.
I mean, you're stadium's yourself. Full.
Everyone
you're not
on TV.
Taking BP in a full stadium. It's usually an empty stadium.
Is full. And the crowd is into it. And you're more excited than anything. I was more excited. So maybe I was throwing 64, 65. But it was a lot of fun. Adrian, you know, Trevor Hoffman was there when he was with the Brewers, so he got voted. So he threw my stuff in a locker next to him, so I got to be a locker mate with Trevor and Josh Johnson, the big donkey from Miami back in the day. And he just treated me so. It was a great experience.
So you mentioned the L screen, the net that batting practice pitchers have right in front of them with a little cutout where your the ball comes from that protects you.
Yes.
Is it still somewhat intimidating, though, that the best hitters in the world are 45, 50 feet ahead of you and taking full swings. You've got that net, but those balls are rifling out of there.
Yeah, chuck and duck.
I've checked every ballpark I went to, and to this day, I check the net before I throw.
Yeah.
Oh,
one squirts through the bottom and gets that ankle or something. Yeah.
I've been hitting the bat, you know, on the eye and the side when it was a ricochet, and it's like, what just happened? Ricky Renteria, he was throwing BP once, and he likes getting his head out before, and he got clocked right in the mouth.
They hit really hard, guys. All right, so tonight you got Pete Alonso, who's won it twice. You got Alec Bohm, first-timer.
World Series.
This is Pete Alonso's World Series. You got Adolis Garcia, who, I mean, he's just...
If he gets hot, it's over.
Gunnar Henderson, who is just a stud. He's a stud. I actually put a little money on Gunnar. Bobby Witt Jr., Jose Ramirez, who I love, Marcelo Zuna, and Teoscar Hernandez for the Dodgers, who's a pretty prolific home run hitter in his own right. I mean, the even money is basically Pete Alonso. He's done it. He knows exactly how to win it. He's got a swing that's tailor-made for it. I read a I'm so easily swayed. I read something that Gunnar Henderson prepares for this like he prepares for everything. Hard. Very, very hard. So I said, all right, I'll take my chances on him. He's like plus 400 to win it. But
did you study who's throwing the pitches?
I did not.
We just found out that that's just as important.
I have no idea. But, you know, I think you have to go the – I don't think you can go the sentimental route like Will Myers did. I think that's where he blew it. I think – yeah, it'd be cool as hell to have my dad throw. I'm not having my dad out there. I'm not having Ben out there with me. I'm having somebody I trust.
Well, Robin Cano, he had his dad throw.
He had his dad.
It worked out the one year, but the next year he put up a goose.
It was awful.
So you never know.
Bryce Harper had his pops doing it. Yeah.
He's a stud.
And he looked like he's done it.
I got my money on Garcia tonight because he's a hometown kid and he's as strong as anybody.
He is a bull.
So, Ray, who took the best batting practice? The guy that was consistently the best, at least before the game, just in the pure swings that he took in the cage.
Are you talking home runs or just base hits?
I mean, just whatever your impression of. Like, this guy just took the best BP.
Russell the Muscle
besides
was the
me.
Most. Russell the Muscle Branyon was the most impressive. We're up in Colorado, and he's hitting bombs at the top deck. He was the most impressive. But, you know, it's funny.
This doesn't always translate against the breaking balls and the sliders that they have to face in the game.
But in the offseason, I would throw to Adam Jones. First pitch I'd throw to him, low and away, he hit it like it was nothing. I go, okay, you're ready for spring training. Some guys are just that good.
Yeah.
Fall out of bed and they can hit.
Yeah, I don't know if he might have been a little before you started throwing to the Padres, but Ruben Rivera always was a king of batting practice.
Yeah.
And then could never do it during the games.
It was 5:30 hitter.
So frustrating. You go watch this guy. He put on a show, and you go, this guy's getting an all-star. This Hall of Famer,
You throw to Tony, too?
I used to throw to Tony Jr. I millions of pitches to Jr. Millions.
That's incredible, man. I like the guys that are like, because every hitter, you want to go Oppo. You know, just Oppo is where I want to live. I want to live in batting practice. But then the guys, it's like, I got five more swings, and they just tattoo him out of the yard.
Well, the last round that you throw to each guy. So when we had Matt Stairs here in 2010, his last would be seven in a row in the right deck.
God, he just incredible
because that's what he did pinch in. Anyways.
Yeah, just turn it on.
He was awesome. But
that's amazing.
Most guys would work on their craft the first few rounds.
Well, you know, and now tonight I'm going to be watching the throwers. Now that we have Ray in today,
me
I'm
going to
be watching the throwers, and we'll grade them tomorrow.
Last thing before you go, I mentioned it earlier that my dad only hit me a handful of times in BP. What was the worst you ever felt? You must have hit guys over the years.
I put Ryan Ludwig on his back. Didn't hit him.
Hey, you don't feel that bad.
Yeah,
don't feel that bad.
He probably deserved it.
No, then he hit a home run the next one, so I was good. No, I put him on. It's like, oh, the ball slipped because they're slippery.
Yeah, they are.
I went, oh, God.
Oh, no.
This is the end of my career.
Yep, that'll do it. Ray, that was awesome, man.
Ray, thank you so much for coming in.
Love
those stories. That's fantastic. That's what our summer break is all about. Ray Krohn, everybody, a long time batting practice pitcher extraordinaire in with Ben and Woods this morning.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to come back. We got our final hour. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindle Report. See what else is going on. It actually was a fairly busy sports weekend, so we'll see what. Grab Paulie's attention when we come back. Final hour, and then Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock. Don't go anywhere as we continue on a Monday morning. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.